I've got to say, we got a larger crowd than I thought would be able to make it out. I'm sure there's a good handful of brethren stuck in their driveway, maybe with some snow or ice, but it's good to see this crowd. It's a blessing to be here. We're thankful that you're here. To the visitors among us, we consider it a great blessing that you chose to be here with us this morning. I pray that we encourage you as you know that you encourage us. This morning's lesson is we're kind of a week behind. I was hoping to do this last week, but it just worked out. We're doing it today. And this is the lesson setting the stage for our theme for the year. Our theme for the year is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. And so what we're going to be looking at throughout the year, these topics here and how they relate to being a vessel of honor. And so as we mature in our faith and we make ourselves more useful to the master, and we're going to look at that in the text, we're going to become more mature in these areas that you see on the screen, and so we're going to break those down throughout the year and see how that applies to being a vessel of honor. And so I encourage you, if you haven't already, to read at least the second chapter of 2 Timothy on your own again and again throughout the year and really get to memorizing that. And I think the more and more you do that, and of course read the whole book of 2 Timothy, it'll start to make more sense to you. But this is what we're going to be looking at throughout the year concerning this theme. Now, to help us visualize this, a very simple thought for you this morning. I'm sure you have a special set of dishes at home, or at least the older you get, right? Or maybe your grandma did, right? In that hutch there in the dining room, that special set of china that you're not allowed to touch until she breaks it out maybe once a year for something special. Or like for us, Christy has a Christmas set of dishes. And it only comes out one time a year for the family Christmas dinner. And then she has kind of some intermediate, I forget the name of it, festive something, whatever, dishes that they're kind of colored. And that'll come out a few times a year. Like if you came to eat in our house, you're probably going to get those dishes. But we don't use them every day. Right? So that kind of helps you, if you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of what the Lord's talking about here. These special vessels. Right? Special vessels for a special purpose. And so if you would, open your Bible to 2 Timothy this morning. And in verse 21, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, and therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, we'll talk about what the latter means here in just a few minutes, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. Now that list you saw on that previous screen, that's going to kind of be the three main headings for all of that throughout this year that we're going to look at. But what I want you to do to really understand chapter 2 and verse 21, you got to understand chapter 2. And to understand chapter 2, you need to see the context in which it's given. Right? We're going to be good, honest students of God's Word. And so we're going to back up and see something in chapter 1. So flip your page back to chapter 1. I want you to note something with me as we look at the text here. So in 2 Timothy, it seems like maybe Timothy's not living up to the standards that was required of him as a minister of the gospel, and or the congregation was maybe getting a little bit lazy. And so that seems to be the premise of why Paul is writing this letter to him, to the congregation, and to us today. And so I want you to note here, you're going to see it on the screen, you know, Timothy, maybe the congregation, maybe on the verge of giving up, maybe thinking this Christianity thing is just a little bit too tough. And so I want you to see here what God is teaching us in this text. Now, 2 Timothy, I think, can rightly be described as the book of consistency. You know, 1 Timothy is the book of conduct. Right, chapter 3 and verse 15 of 1 Timothy. I'm writing these things so you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God. So that's kind of the how. 2 Timothy really is the why. And so if you have your Bible open there, chapter 1, verse 6 of Timothy here, he says in verse 6, "Therefore I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God." Now New King James says stir up. Your translation might say kindle afresh, and I like that a little bit better for me. And now, biblically speaking, there's normally two words in the Greek that we translate as gift. The first one is doron, which is like a gift, like a birthday present. The second one is the Greek word charisma. Right? We get our English word charisma from this word. And this is, and of course, the root word of this is charis, which means grace. But this charisma, is the idea of a free gift, a spiritual endowment, and a characteristic. And I want you to think about that third one there, characteristic. So now we're talking about having a consistent characteristic, or in other words, consistent charisma. Does that make sense? Now, if you've ever met somebody and you thought, wow, they've got this charisma about them, right? There's just something about them that draws you and others to them, right? Now that makes sense. There's this characteristic about them that it's drawn me to them. That's what we're being taught about here concerning Christianity. Although it's not our charisma, but it's the charisma of Christ, right? And we reflect that to the world around us, and it's going to draw them to Christ based on these characteristics. And in that, of course, it's going to draw us closer to God. Now, I want you to think about this phrase here, kindle afresh. Again, New King James. King James says stir up. And so this word indicates, especially in the original language, the idea of a dying fire. Right? And if that fire is necessary for you to live, you're gonna rekindle that fire, right? You don't want those embers to go out. Do something about it before the fire dies. Kindle afresh your faith with these consistent characteristics. You see what he's teaching us here? Right? If you don't rekindle the flames, it'll eventually go out. And so we're urged in all of this to stir up, to rekindle this charisma, characteristics of God. Why? How? You know, verse 8, verse 8 and 9, according to the power of God, right? And this is not of your own abilities, by the way, we're being taught. Right? This isn't about your charisma, but this is about God's charisma. Right? And verse 14 says, this is the good thing that was committed to us, so use it, guard it, protect it. See how it all starts to flow together? Right? And so with those things in mind, then chapter 2 says, now take on these characteristics. In other words, right, have these things as your godly characteristics. Let me read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So you see what's going on here? Now what Paul's going to do then is he's going to give us seven metaphors. these characteristics, these charisma, this charisma of God. Right? He's going to talk about a son, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a vessel, our theme for the year, and then a servant. So he's going to get into very deep, a lot of detail here of how we do this, how we kindle afresh our faith, how we remain consistent in our faith so that we don't give up. And in that, we're going to learn about being a vessel of honor, right? And we all know what consistent means. Not changing, not giving up. If you get knocked down, grow beyond that which knocked you down. Right? Get back up and start moving in the right direction, right? There's your biblical word for maturity. And so real quick here, I want to focus on these characteristics that we're given. We already read the first one there, a son, in verse 1. Did you see that? This first characteristic that we see. Now, each of these has an exhortation with it. Right? So, be a son here in verse 1, and the exhortation is be strong in the grace. Right? Be strong in the grace of God. The charisma that we talked about in chapter 1 and verse 6, he spoke about that spiritual endowment, that free gift of God, that characteristic. And as our Father, as His children, He compels us in this relationship of Father and Son. And God's grace is only bestowed, given to us as a gift to those who are His children, right? None of these other characteristics are going to matter if we do not have His grace through obedience. Second, a soldier. Right? Read verses 3 and 4. And I want you to note the exhortation here is endure hardships. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Right now, this illustration is really easy for me to understand. Formerly being a Marine and the soldier in the infantry, right? Infantry life is tough, right? It's all about just doing to me, and if you're ever in the infantry, it seems like stupid stuff to make you miserable, right? And so I really understand this one in that sense. But this illustration here, basically it's saying, the life of being in the infantry, it's hard, it's difficult. And there's a lot of hardships. And despite those hardships, every soldier has a daily routines and responsibilities, orders to follow, missions to carry out, equipment to check, faithful duties to carry out. So that's one of the characteristics if you're going to be consistent in your faith. Number three, now we're just looking at these six out of the seven here, of course, just briefly. He says, as an athlete, the exhortation here is to train like an athlete. Read verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, if you read out of the King James, it says masteries, but it's talking about competitive sports here. Right? The athlete, listen, is not a spectator. Right? The athlete is not a casual observer. Right? These are metaphors, so think about your faith. Right? The athlete's not a spectator watching from afar, not a casual observer, but a competitor. Right? No time to waste. He's got a race to finish. Matter of fact, chapter 4, verse 7, right? He's saying, I finished my race. And there's a crown waiting for me. In order to compete, the athlete has to prepare and train and practice and know the rules of the game. All right, what do I learn the rules of this game in my faith? Well, chapter 3, 17 and 18, God's inspired word, God-breathed word. Right, that's going to tell you, chapter 4, verse 2, this is what you are to preach. Because there's a time coming, folks are not going to endure sound doctrine, right? Does that make sense? You remember all of that? And plus, an athlete has that attitude of never quit, never give up. The the heart of a champion. So it starts to make a little more sense, doesn't it? Number four is a farmer, verse 6. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And so the exhortation here is to be hardworking, right? The Bible's filled in every corner of it with the example of a farmer. Right? The farmer's hardworking. Listen, you can't be lazy if you're going to be a farmer. When you decide to be a farmer, you are forfeiting the right to be lazy. When you become a Christian, you are forfeiting the right to become lazy. Now, this will make a lot more sense also as we talk about a vessel here in just a moment. Right? Farmer, it's manual, hands-on labor. You got to get your hands dirty, if you will. And then a workman. Verse 15, we know the passage well. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker, or your translation might say workman, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The exhortation here is be diligent. And that's a Greek word, spedazo, by the way, which means to give an extra effort. Right? If you have an employee, you want your employee to be diligent, right? To give the extra effort, to go above and beyond. A worker does well. Well, a worker works, right? And if he's your employee, you're thankful if he puts in that extra effort. And of course, in this verse here, that worker needs to be diligent in presenting himself, extra effort, in accurately handling God's word, right? No one can do it for you. Personal responsibility in this. This is one of the characteristics that God is calling for us to have if we're going to make it to the end, if we're going to be consistent in our faith. We need to be like a workman. And then we'll look at a vessel here in a moment, verse 21. The exhortation here is to be cleansed. To be cleansed. We'll come back to that one, but the last one is a servant, verses 24 through 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, the devil's will. And so the exhortation here, right, don't quarrel, be gentle, able to teach, be patient. And I think it's interesting, the first metaphor of a son, he talks about grace. And then the last one is be a servant like Jesus. Right, this charisma, these characteristics will not only draw us to Christ because it's mandated, but it'll also draw others to us and Christ. Let that charisma be what draws people to Christ. All right, now let's take a look at verse 21, our main study verse for the year. I just wanted to give it in the context which Scripture does. And listen, when we look at this, and it was our scripture reading, actually went back to verse 20. What we're being taught in this is those who cleanse themselves from dishonorable conduct become vessels of honor, ready then to be useful. So number one, if you don't cleanse yourself, make that change from being dishonorable, you're never going to be useful to God. So we need to go through that cleansing process that God designed, right? You don't get to design that process of being cleansed. And we're going to end this lesson when we give the Lord's invitation mentioning that. But I want you to note right here, of all these characteristics that are listed, you know, this one is the most confronting of all these seven characteristics. Right, because now I have to ask Sean some questions about Sean. right? I got to start asking myself, you know, have I been sanctified, number one? And sanctified just literally means being set apart for a special purpose, right? You're being cleansed, you're being sanctified. Now you're set aside for a unique, special purpose, right? Have I been sanctified? You know, am I useful for the master? Have I made myself available? Have I made myself useful? Have I made myself prepared for every good work? So here in verse 20, right, he's teaching in a large house. Basically, this would be a rich man's house, right? Poor man didn't have a big house. Poor man's house, there's no golden or silver vessels. But in this large house, some things are of great value, and there's some things that are not of great value. You know, the cheap things, they're not honored, right? They don't have value. So if a man cleanses himself from sin and wickedness, are you looking at your Bible? He becomes a vessel of honor. That's where it begins. Now he can be used for honorable things. And so the confronting part again here, for me as I look at this, I got to ask myself this question. Am I presentable spiritually speaking? Listen, if I'm just going through the motions, I don't think I'm making myself available. I'm not presentable for honorable things of God. Right? The confronting part, you know, is have I made myself presentable? Right? And this is talking about doing or not doing God's work. That's what he's talking about here. And sadly, I think there's those who have never really made themselves of any use to God. They're okay with going to church thing. I might go to church. I'll give you a couple, 3 hours a week, but the rest of that time is my time, right? Are you allowing God to use you as an honorable vessel? Remember, 2 Timothy was written to Christians. Right? Yes, to those who've obeyed the gospel. Right? And so he's talking to Christians who've never made themselves available to God. That's a little bit confronting. Right? And if we're honest, many times that'll make us kind of squirm around in our pew. And so he's saying here, you know, you've got these other vessels, these wooden ones. You know, they're kind of a dime a dozen type of vessels. They are, God says, just plain old wooden vessels of no real value. They just kind of take up space. But Paul says if a man cleanses himself and becomes useful to the master, he is prepared for every good work. And Paul's point is, if you really want to be useful, when God has a job that needs doing, a ministry to be filled, he's not going to consider you because you're only a wooden vessel. Right, God wants and needs honorable vessels, those who will, and you can take the whole book, all four chapters into context here, right? They're going to kindle afresh their faith. Right, you look at verse 7, right? Understand, you know, they weren't given a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love, a sound mind. They're going to take on these seven metaphors, right? A son, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a vessel, a servant. They're going to seek God's breathed word, chapter 3, 16 and 17. They're going to preach the word. They're going to convince, rebuke, admonish, right? Chapter 4 and verse 2. You know, you start to put it all together. They're going to stand up for the truth. They're going to preach that. They're not going to be lazy. They're going to work. They're going to serve, right? That is Christian charisma. Those are consistent characteristics of a faithful Christian. And that's what we're being taught in all of this. And so the remainder lessons of the year, by the way, are going to kind of carry this thought process out. And that's why I think it's going to be a wonderful theme for the year. And when we think about a vessel of honor, and you know, we could go back to the Old Covenant and Leviticus, for example, we could look at that and how certain vessels, before they were used in the temple, or the tabernacle before the temple, they had to be cleansed. Right? They had to be consecrated. They had to be sanctified. They had to be washed, right, in their cleansed. Now they're useful for temple service, right? Now, spiritually speaking, for us in the new covenant, same thing. We're that vessel. We need to be cleansed. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, we need to be washed, sanctified, justified. Right? Colossians 1 and verse 13, we're called out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Right? So we're called out of that sinful, dark world. We're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified, and now we're over here set aside in the light of Christ, useful to the Lord. Right, this is what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 13, be the salt of the earth. Verse 14, be light. Right, verse 16, you're going to do these things for the glory of God. So folks on the outside can look in at you being used as a vessel of honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Right, this is what we were created for, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We're created to be God's workers for His glory. Now, before we begin to finish up our lesson here in just a moment, we need to note something very important in this. So verse 21, 2 Timothy chapter 2, teaches that the believers, through the process of cleansing and sanctification, become vessels of honor for the master's service. Right? This metaphorical language throughout this chapter, underscores the believer's consecration and dedication, readiness for God's use. And don't get lost in those big theological words, by the way. But what he's doing here, he's encouraging the Christian to actively participate in that sanctification, in that being set aside for a special purpose, right? Do you believe that? Do you realize that? And drawing back to what I just spoke of a few minutes ago, listen, you were dead, you were lost in your sins. You heard about Jesus, you heard the evidence about Him, you trusted God, you obeyed God, you obeyed the gospel, right? The Lord added you to His church when you were immersed into Christ. Acts 2:47. Now you're over here, cleansed. You get to start all over. A new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You get to start over. Doesn't matter the depth of the darkness you were in before, you get to start over. So now what? Right? Now make yourself useful. Right? Just like that athlete that he talks about. You're not a spectator if you're an athlete. You participate. Right, and like the farmer, when you decide to become a farmer, you forfeit the right to be lazy. You start putting in all these characteristics, this charisma of God, and it starts to make a little bit more sense why 2 Timothy rightfully can be called the book of consistency, how to have consistent faith, making ourselves available and useful to God, but we've got to see something else here in the text before we offer the Lord's invitation. If you were to break down what he's talking about in all of this, right, he's going to use the word shun and depart and purge and flee and avoid. And that's some strong language. Right, so there are these characteristics, that these metaphors God is calling me to follow, to emulate. But there's also the pull of the world, constantly pulling you away from those things that I got to be honest with. It's just so easy to fall back into that darkness, into those practices that we were cleansed from. Right? So you see that intermixed, interwoven in these characteristics to give us something to contrast what is right, if you will, with what is wrong. But real quick here, just note this. Verse 16, right? You need to shun such things as profanity, irreverent conversations, godless chatter, because that just leads to further ungodliness. In verse 19, he clearly calls out iniquity, stating that everyone who names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity, right? Removing themselves from wickedness and withdraw from wrongdoing. You know, stop allowing that in your life. And then verse 21 takes the separation a step further, calling for a separation from these things, to purge. New King James says, the ungodly, compromised Christian that refuses to repent, right? And they refuse to align themselves with God's holy character. Verse 22 continues that escalation of separation. My Bible says to flee, right? He's sounding the alarm to flee from youthful lust. That was part of that darkness he used to be a part of. And then finally in verse 23, he wraps it all up basically saying, avoid all manner of foolishness and ignorant speculations, right? If we don't keep our hearts clean from these things listed in this passage, not only will we violate God's standard of holiness, but we'll once again corrupt our vessel. And so that's that admonition mixed in with these godly characters. All right, finally, you know, what's interesting about the word vessel is that here's a dictionary definition of vessel. It is an empty or hollow container ready to receive something. Right? It needs to be cleaned out first, right? We obey the gospel. It's got to be cleaned out. But now it's ready to receive something. Right? God said, I want you to receive these consistent characteristics, so that you can make it to the end. He's given us a playbook on how to be faithful. Right? So we don't have to sit around, well, how do I be faithful? He's telling you. He's laying it all out for you. And in that, of course, is to be a vessel of honor. Again, I call your mind back to Colossians 1 and verse 13. The Lord has called us out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His light. Kingdom of the Son of His love. Right, we empty ourselves from these destructive and wicked and sinful things. Right, then we're ready to receive and hold the charisma or characteristics of God, a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. This morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, you got an opportunity to become a vessel of honor for the Lord today. And the Bible, not me, not the Fairview Church of Christ, the Bible says you got to obey the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to begin that journey. Right? The gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you've got to obey that. So how do you obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Well, Romans 6, 3 and 4 says you do it through baptism or immersion. You're reenacting His death, His burial, and His resurrection in water. And you're doing that because you believe, John 8, 24. You want to repent of your sins, Acts 2, 38. You want to confess Jesus before men. I'm not ashamed, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Right, that response of faith because you love God and you got a sin problem, and that's the answer. So that's what you need to do if you've never obeyed the gospel. If you've done that, but you've fallen away, and maybe the issue is you haven't made yourself available as an honorable vessel for God. And you allowed yourself to get dirty once again, dishonorable. There's something you want to bring before the church to reconnect to God, to be reconciled. We'd love to help you with that. If you have any need whatsoever, just need encouragement, would you let somebody know as we stand, as we sing?